Tell me when this is complete. Rona. It's complete. Dr. H. Then bring that bit of your consciousness back from Paris, back to Chicago, to this room and to your body. Rona. There's something on my left shoulder. Dr. H. You on Rona's left shoulder, come forward, speak through Rona's voice without harming her in any way and identify yourself. Do you have a name? Entity. Samuel. Dr. H. Samuel, what are you doing here on Rona's shoulder? Samuel. I was with Jay. I didn't go. This is the only time this has happened in my experience. Dr. H. You must have had a good reason for not wanting to go. What is the reason? Samuel. I just didn't want to go. Dr. H. You may have missed a wonderful opportunity. Those who come from the light to greet their loved ones all say it's wonderful there. Is it wonderful where you are? Samuel. It's not easy here. Dr. H. Are you telling me that you can't stick to Rona very easily? Samuel. Right. Dr. H. I call now on anyone in the light who cares about Samuel to come for him, greet him, communicate with him and help him with his transition. Samuel, look up. 78, tell me what you see. Samuel. My girlfriend, Louise. Dr. H. Do you want to stay here on Rona's shoulder or do you want to go with Louise? Samuel. I'll go. Dr. H. That wasn't a very difficult decision, was it? Samuel. No. Dr. H. Then go in peace with our love and blessing. Join Louise. I ask now for the healing angels to come and fill the spaces with light that were just vacated by Samuel. Rona, is there anything else we need to do for you? Rona. No more. Dr. H. Then focus on the center of your own being and find the brightest point of your spirit. Let this brightness fill your body and extend beyond, forming a great cocoon of light round you. Rona. It's formed. Dr. H. Prepare to awaken. The forces within your body will equalize. I will soon waken you by counting backward from 21 to 1 using alternate figures. In the future, if there is an occasion for us to work together, I will take your left hand in my left hand and count from 1 to 21, if you are willing. By the time I reach 21 you will be deeply relaxed and ready to go to work. If you are not willing, neither I nor anyone else will be able to induce this state in you. 79, you will always remain in control whether I or someone else is working with you. You are always free to accept or reject any and all suggestions that are given you. Your choices will be guided by your inner wisdom so that they are best for you. Ready, 21, 19, 17, take two deep breaths, 15, 13, 11, 9, more and more alert now, 7, 5, 3, 2, 1, clap of hands, wide awake. This was a new experience for Rona. In response to questions, she said that scanning Jay was like seeing her out in front and being able to see inside and through her. Rona also expressed a feeling of increased inner energy and a deep sense of satisfaction. Most people who are involved in this procedure report the same lift and harmony. Only a few have mentioned being tired or depleted afterward. I expect that we will find a way to enable all participants to feel pleasure and satisfaction rather than any other feeling when doing this work. 8081 Chapter 9 More Case Reports. In the summer of 1993, I did a 3-day seminar at a Buddhist retreat in California. During the time I was there, 3 staff members individually expressed their concern for a young man, J.G., age 26, who had come to the center in great distress. He had told them that while studying for his PhD he had volunteered to participate in some sort of experiment, the nature of which was not disclosed, and had felt himself to be under attack since. He told them that he was hearing voices, feels he doesn't know who he is and feels almost dead. He was so frightened that he refused to leave his room. His food had to be taken to him. On Monday morning following the seminar, The three staff members had requested private sessions with me. C was first. With her we did a remote scanning of another person she had sought to help and also helped her with a personal problem of her own. She told me that J.G. had agreed to have a private session with me when she was finished. I suggested, let's fix him before he gets here. She agreed and under hypnosis again, scanned J.G. with his high self's permission, of course. We found and released several entities, both earthbound and dark. A few moments later, J.G. entered. All three of the concerned staff people were present as he came into the room. J.G. appeared to be relaxed and calm. They all remarked about his changed appearance and manner. We just talked a few minutes 82 during which time he said he felt good and seemed to be okay after he left the room. He walked about the retreat talking to one of the children and appeared to be completely free of his problems. In August of 1993, I and an associate, Becky Maraskalko, attended the National Guild of Hypnotists convention in Nashua, New Hampshire. While we did several private sessions, Becky is an excellent instrument for doing remote depossession. One person we worked with was particularly troubled. I shall call her Penny, not her real name. 5 weeks later we received a letter from her giving both the background and the after effects of our work. Here is her letter. When I was a small child, 6 and under, I remember having a loving, joyful, obedient nature. I felt an instinctive love for God, and even wanted to become a minister when I grew up, although we had no religious training in our home. After the age of 6, I became progressively more unhappy and troubled with terrifying nightmares, problems with my parents and even fears of being insane, a strange concern for such a young child. By the time I was an adolescent, I was severely emotionally disturbed, abused alcohol and drugs and needed psychiatric care. Although I ended the substance abuse and turned back to God and spiritual interests, I remained emotionally unstable. For the next 25 years I was plagued by violent mood swings, periods of black depression and outbursts of terrible rage. I remember telling a therapist that sometimes felt as if 83 terrible black monster came out and looked over my feelings and behavior. During those spells, as I called them, I caused much harm to myself and others, physically and emotionally. Even in my better periods, I was prone to anxiety attacks, crippling fears and phobias and a chronic underlying anger. Longing to lead a spiritual life, I was nevertheless often rebellious and wild. There always seemed to be a destructive force pulling at me. I couldn't remain true to my own honorable values for long and did many things of which I was deeply ashamed. In 1987, I was hospitalized, diagnosed as having manic depressive disorder and put on medication which helped keep things at bay but never cured me. I often heard thoughts in my mind which I knew were not auditory hallucinations. Sometimes when I was praying a thought would cut in saying, "Screw God," or something equally shocking. I had the peculiar sensation that I was not alone somehow in my mind and considered the possibility that I also suffered from multiple personalities. At times I felt an indescribably evil presence threatening to overcome and destroy me. All this sounded like a mental illness, but by this time I was a psychology major in college and I knew I wasn't psychotic in spite of all of these symptoms. When I finally read about spirit possession, I felt a deep inner sensing that at last I know what was really wrong with me. But not knowing where to turn for help, I pushed the knowledge away as too fantastic to believe until the blessed day I came in contact with people who were doing spirit releasement therapy. 84 with them, I could finally face what I knew in my heart was true and discuss my problems openly without being thought insane. I was then guided to Dr. Hickman and Becky. During my session with them, Becky, in trance, saw that I was completely full of dark forces headed by a powerful demon who claimed to have possessed me at the age of 7. When I later asked why this had happened to me, Becky saw that I had been offered to him in some sort of ceremony. This seemed to substantiate memories my sister had had that we were abused in satanic rituals as children. My session had a powerful emotional impact on me. I knew the spirit that spoke through Becky. I had lived with it most of my life, always thinking it was a part of my own personality, a side of myself I hated and feared. I could fully relate to the anger and fear it expressed and could clearly see how even some of my most basic attitudes, rebellion against authority and chronic irritability, had been generated by it. When it claimed to have been sent to control and ultimately destroy me, I became vividly aware that this was the destructive force I had so often felt tearing at me. I felt a tremendous emotional and spiritual upheaval as this being at first defied Dr. Hickman and then eventually succumbed to her commands to leave and go to the light. As it departed, I felt an actual physical relief as if something was being wrenched from inside me. When it was over, I felt almost empty at first. Then an incredible light filled my being. When I looked in the mirror, I was positively radiant. I felt physically light and emotionally free. 85. An indescribable sensation. Since the depossession, I have been completely free of all the old symptoms for the first time in 41 years. I have stopped taking any medication and am calm, stable and fully in control of my emotions. I feel at last like a mature version of that happy, loving child I remember being, free to love God and work for the good of humanity. I am considering actually becoming a minister as I dreamed of doing. It is the greatest blessing I can conceive for giving in my life. Another note from Penny dated November 29, 1993 told us that she continues to thrive without the old troublesome feelings. This report was sent to me from Williamsport, West Virginia. Terry Ash and Rhonda Newart did the work for the daughter of a friend. Brittany, age 6, had been having night terrors for a long time. She had 4 to 6 episodes each and every night. She never remembered any of them. However, she was afraid of monsters and it was a battle to get her to go to bed. The remote depossession was done on a Wednesday afternoon. On Thursday, the mother reported that Brittany had had a milder form of night terror Wednesday night. The mother was advised to do a meditation putting light around Brittany for several days. Terry also did several light meditations for Brittany. 2 weeks later, the mother called to ask whether another depossession had been done, as Brittany had not had any further night terrors except the first night after Terry and Rhonda had 86 done the depossession. From Terry's letter, she just thanked us over and over again. Needless to say, Rhonda and I are just thrilled. Brittany is no longer afraid of monsters and goes to bed without a hassle. She's calmer, happier and sleeps well. It is difficult to know how much effect was produced by the remote depossession and how much by the light meditations. Additional research is needed in cases of this kind, to help us determine the effectiveness of either or both of the therapies. Charlene Ackerman, of Janesville, Wisconsin, sent me this interesting report. It concerns Philip, age 5, who had never spoken. He had made guttural sounds that resembled words and whined from time to time. His parents felt that he had the ability to speak, but simply was not able to get the words out. Philip had been checked by a local child psychiatrist. He was thought not to be autistic and that he needed more stimulation and encouragement. His parents were eager to do whatever they could to help him. After discussion with the mother, it was decided to do a remote scanning of Philip using the mother as the instrument. The first entity contacted had been attached to his throat, creating a tightness and heaviness. This entity gave the name of a void but also said that she was an old woman who had died alone of a heart attack. She also had an inability to speak. She went into the light with the help of her father and told Philip she was sorry for holding him back. Further scanning of Philip located a dark one in his 87 head that gave the name of Short Circuit. This one left rather easily with the forces of Street Michael who came for him. Then Philip's mother was directed to visualize filling Philip's body with light and letting the light expand to form a bubble of light around him. 2 days after the session, Philip and his sister, Amy, were in the back seat of the car as his mother was waiting at school for another child. Amy was singing, and all of a sudden Philip started singing. The first words he had ever spoken were from the play, Annie. He sang "The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow" and continued to sing the rest of the song. Philip still has difficulty talking, but sings a number of songs clearly. A second session of remote scanning of Philip did not produce further improvement. Perhaps at a later time there could be greater success, or the remaining problem may be from an entirely different source rather than from an attached entity. This next case is from Olga Ifsin, MD of Chicago. She has given it the title of Chinese Family Reunion. The first request came from a Chinese man who could only communicate through an interpreter. This man is a Chinese herbalist and horoscope reader, and explained that he thought his son, aged 23, had a bad spirit with him. He explained that his son, a graduate from an American college, and the owner-manager of his own store, had trouble controlling his temper and had become aggressive toward his parents with whom he lives. The son had 88 refused to come because he did not believe in spirits. The father said that in Taiwan when a man is possessed by bad spirits, one can find help in the Buddhist temple where masters know how to exorcise them telepathically, but that kind of service for Buddhists is difficult to find in America. Dr. Ifsin, using her assistant as an instrument, through remote scanning located and removed three earthbound entities from the sun and helped them go on into the light. Then the father requested that he too be scanned. Four entities were released from the father. The following week the Chinese mother through an interpreter requested a remote procedure on herself. Two earthbound entities were released to the light from the mother. 2 weeks later the son, who spoke fluent English, requested a remote depossession for himself. One more earthbound and one demonic were found and released. A month later the father reported a cooperative and helpful son, and that the family was closer than it had ever been. In November of 1993, I and 10 other hypnotherapists were together during a Caribbean cruise. In addition to visiting the islands, we had several training and practice sessions. On November 13th, while we were at sea between Martinique and Puerto Rico, one of our group, Ivan D. Gucci, of Bennett, Nebraska, stated that he would like to be the hypnotized scanner to see whether he could do this work. This was a first time for him. 89 He selected a friend living in Wisconsin, a 41-year-old female, D, who was on medical leave as a pilot for United Airlines. She had developed severe sinus and other respiratory problems after being exposed to the heavy smoking of the pilot with whom she flew. Under hypnosis, Ivan easily located the essence of the target subject, but required more time to locate the physical body. Once this was accomplished, an entity was found in the lower throat area. In dialoguing with this entity, we were told that he had once had his own body named Morris, that he was a pushcart peddler on the streets of a French city. He was run down and killed by a large vehicle of some sort. He mentioned viewing the remains of his physical body scattered about the street and concluded that he could never return to that body. A sympathetic lady, D, standing on the street had witnessed the accident. Morris joined her via the throat chakra. Morris mentioned another earthbound in the pelvic area who refused to accompany him as he moved to the light to join loved ones who came for him. The entity located in the pelvic area said her name was Neandra. She stated, speaking through Ivan, that she had been with D. since ancient Egyptian times. She had been a handmaiden to D. when she was an Egyptian lady of some social and political standing. During a journey, she had been raped and beaten to death by male attendants to the same lady. She felt angry and betrayed. At once, at her death, Neandra entered the body of her mistress via the lower chakra. Here she caused pain and discomfort in an effort 90 to get revenge because of her mistress's indifference during the rape attack. Neandra was very reluctant to leave, but did agree after a time to go to the light with an angelic being who greeted her. Attention was then moved to the sinus, eye area. Here there appeared to be a swarm of tiny entities resembling bees, none of which had ever had a human body of their own. We were able to dialogue with a spokesperson for the swarm. Extreme resistance was finally overcome with the help of St. Michael's forces. The swarm left with their spokesman, leader. We felt that these may have been thought forms. After these intruders were gone, we asked the healing angels to bring healing light and fill the spaces vacated by those who had departed. 4 days after returning home, Ivan was visited by D. No details were given her except that he had participated in a healing for her without mentioning the date. He inquired whether she had experienced anything unusual. Her response follows: on Saturday, November 13th, I had not felt well and remained abed. At about 10:30, the time we were doing the remote depossession, I broke out in a sweat which persisted until noontime. Quantities of mucus were purged from my throat and my voice became froggy for a while. I experienced some mild abdominal pain, then, within 24 hours, my menstrual cycle began. Usually I had been experiencing bloating, cramps and clotting. This period was atypical in that it was pain-free with no clotting or 91 bloating. On Sunday, the day following the depossession, my sinus drained and felt clear. Another thing, I had a burst of sustained energy completely atypical for me. This interesting case came from Dr. Brian G. Knight of Corpus Christi, Texas. One of his patients, a boy of 8, had complained of abdominal pain for 6 months. Examination could find no organic reason for his complaint. Spirit releasement was discussed with his mother. She agreed to be the one who scanned her son. She found a small red area in her son's upper abdomen. It was difficult to obtain any response to questions. Dr. Knight commented to me that the questions were probably too forceful. Eventually a small voice did come out sounding very uncertain and frightened. The entity identified itself as Mickey. He had been struck by a truck when he was 5 in Atlanta, Georgia. He did not know how he got from Georgia to Texas, but answered, "I only wanted to be with another little boy." Mickey had no knowledge of what to expect at death, but when someone from the light was called for and Mickey was told to look up, he cried out, "Gramps," happily and joined Gramps. Dr. Knight's patient reported the pain left at once and did not recur. Linda Kotz, of Oxford, Michigan, contributed 3 cases. 92 She also included a note describing how she uses a protective ritual. "Even though I do not use such, it is quite possible that others would wish to do so. I advise everyone to work with the light of God, stating, for example, 'I am of light. God and only light will enter. I serve only the light, God. The light of God always prevails.' I also use the following prayer and give a copy to my clients. 'The light of God surrounds me. The love of God enfolds me. The power of God protects me. The presence of God watches over me. Wherever I am, God is.'" Linda added, "Remote spirit releasement is a wonderful healing modality and very easily learned. Thank you, Irene, for once more being a catalyst so that others may learn and have the opportunity to be free in body, mind and spirit. Spirit releasement therapy is indeed the most important work we have to do in our healing. We must release any interference in order to get to the cause of any condition. I see it as a mission of love and one of the most rewarding modalities we can be a part of. God bless you." The first case from Linda was a mother requesting help for her 2 teenage daughters and for herself. She said that her husband had committed suicide and that the energy in the home had been very negative since. She also remarked that since a séance that had been conducted in their home recently, the girls were fearful and suffering nightmares. Linda began with the invocation of light for protection and assistance. She asked the warrior angels to stand against the darkness together with all in 93 the light who loved and supported the mother and her daughters to guide the healing. The mother was cleared first, releasing the husband who was stuck in the trauma of his suicide. He also had a number of demonic beings attached to him. The mother was the instrument for the remote scanning of her daughters. Many entities were found with the daughters and released to the light. The daughters were then filled with light and wrapped in spiritual bandages. It was further found that a number of lost souls had come to the home during the séance, had decided they liked it there and had decided to stay. These were released to the light. The person who had conducted the séance had not invoked the light or made any effort to protect those present. During the seance, a white candle that had been burning, suddenly started to smoke and turned completely black. This frightened everyone. The seance ended in fear. Their fear became a doorway for lost souls and dark ones to enter. Linda then proceeded to clear all inappropriate energy from the house, the pets, the plants, the car, etc. A few days later, the mother reported that her daughters were no longer fearful or having nightmares and that the house was peaceful and enjoyable. The second case from Linda was a 10-year-old boy who was out of control. He was described as wild, having fits, kicking the walls, and was a major problem in school. His mother stated that he had been diagnosed as attention deficit disorder, and 94 Ritalin had been recommended. She was reluctant to start him on Ritalin and felt that he was possessed by something evil. The session was started with an invocation of the light for protection and assistance. Their warrior angels were called to stand against the darkness. We called also for all in the light who loved and supported her son to guide the healing. Permission was requested of the boy's high self to scan him. Permission was granted. As the mother scanned her son, she found him completely filled with darkness, tinged with red. A dearly beloved grandmother who had committed suicide was also found to be with the boy. His anger at her leaving, together with her anger and the trauma of her death, had allowed major darkness to enter. Grandmother and the other energies were released to the light. The healing angels were asked to fill the son with healing light wherever it was needed. The mother was further instructed to visualize wrappings for her son, both inside and out, of spiritual bandages: purple for forgiveness, pink for unconditional love, emerald green for healing at all levels, turquoise for change, integration and processing of the work that had been done. Inappropriate energy was cleared from their home, car, animals, plants, and even his school. The mother was further advised to keep herself and the boy filled with light and continue to use the spiritual bandages. When the mother picked up her son at school on the day of the remote depossession, she was told that he had slept during 95 the time of the procedure, most unusual for him, and was calm and loving. As a result of the depossession, he no longer needed to be given Ritalin. Linda added that she had had other ADD children as clients who, after spirit releasement, had become able to concentrate and that both their behavior and their grades had markedly improved. Linda's third case report concerned a 30-year-old man who was diagnosed as schizophrenic. Since his grandfather's death 11 years earlier, he had displayed the old man's characteristics and mannerisms. Grandfather had been senile, full of anger, and a heavy smoker. The grandson had begun to smoke right after losing his grandfather and to exhibit nearly identical ways of sitting, talking, and expressing anger. The young man's sister was the instrument for the remote. Protection was invoked. Permission to scan was asked and granted. Grandfather was there and was very reluctant to leave. He would say, "I'm not going anywhere. I like it here." When he recognized his wife who came for him in the light, he began to cry and was willing to leave with her. Once he was in the light, he was completely healed in mind and body and said he was sorry for staying with his grandson and was pleased to be able to leave. A few weeks later, the family reported that though there were still some remaining emotional problems, the grandfather was gone and that they had had the best family Thanksgiving. 96 Dr. Henry Smith Rawberg of West Falmouth, Massachusetts, has developed a novel method of remote depossession. Some, he tells me, he has done through meditation, some over the telephone, and others while he and his wife are jogging. One young girl developed behavior suggestive of possession by dark entities after a skiing accident. Her injuries included brain concussion, fractured vertebra, and shoulder nerve damage. After the accident, several things changed. Her personality deteriorated. She was depressed and physically ill a great part of the time. Her grades declined and she developed a dark tendency to talk about the void, death, murder, suicide, and blackness. She became progressively alienated from everyone except a few rather like-minded peers. Henry and his wife, Karen, did several remote releasements involving this girl while they were running. The entities found and released included demonic entities, earthbound entities, past life entities and soul fragment entities. As a result of several road-running remote releasements, the change in the troubled teenager was described as miraculous.